Welcome to the MMA and Sports Betting Podcast, where I preview and give my predictions for every MMA fight from a betting perspective. I'll also give out the bets I'm making in the other sports for the week, if I have any at the time of recording. As always, I am your host, Michael Grocki, and let's get started with UFC 244. The Ultimate Fighting Championship is at Madison Square Garden in New York, New York, for UFC 244 on Saturday night. The main event takes place in the welterweight division, where Jorge Masvidal takes on Nate Diaz. The co-main takes place in the middleweight division, where Kelvin Gastelum welcomes Darren Till to the division. Also on the main card, Stephen Thompson and Vicente Luque face off in a battle of welterweights. In the heavyweight division, Derek Lewis takes on Blagoy Ivanov. And in the lightweight division, Kevin Lee faces Gregor Gillespie. So let's jump right into the main card and the main event, where we have Jorge Masvidal taking on Nate Diaz for the baddest motherfucker belt. Masvidal comes in with a record of 34-13, while Nate Diaz comes in with a record of 20-11. Current odds shows Masvidal at minus 155, the comeback on Diaz plus 125. So after dropping two decisions, one to Damian Maia at UFC 211 and the other to Stephen Thompson at UFC 217, Jorge Masvidal is on a two-fight win streak. He defeated Darren Till at UFC Fight Night 147 and Ben Askren at UFC 239. Both victories were via knockout. The five-second Askren finish will be replayed for years, if not decades. A 34-year-old UFC veteran has fought every big name there is to fight in the division. The American top team fighter will make the walk for the 48th time on Saturday night and the 18th time under the UFC banner. Half of Masvidal's 34 career victories ended inside the distance, 15 via knockout to go along with 2 by way of submission. Nate Diaz is 3-1 over his previous 4. He finally found his way back into the octagon at UFC 241, where he defeated Anthony Pettis via unanimous decision. It was his first fight since dropping a majority decision to Conor McGregor at UFC 202. 16 of his 20 pro wins ended inside the distance, 5 via knockout and 11 by submission. Diaz has only been stopped twice in 11 career losses. At 34 years old, Diaz will make the walk for the 32nd time and the 24th time for the UFC. This is an interesting fight to handicap. Masvidal is a fast starter, while Diaz takes time to get going. I expect the fight to play out primarily on the feet. I think Diaz is a bit more precise in his striking compared to Masvidal. However, Masvidal has a more diverse offense. He also has more power. He uses his kicks well and likes to go to the body of his opponents. Diaz throws his strikes at a high volume, but he doesn't possess knockout power. He will pepper his opponents with strikes, and the accumulation over the rounds does start to wear them down. Both fighters are extremely durable. Masvidal has only been finished 3 times in his 13 losses, and Diaz has only been stopped twice in 11 losses. While Masvidal has very good cardio, it doesn't quite stack up to that of Nate Diaz's, who has ridiculous cardio. I don't see either fighter being able to finish the other in this fight. The two have 24 losses between them, and 19 are via decision. My official pick here is going to be Jorge Masvidal by decision. And from a betting perspective, I do lean to Masvidal at minus 155, but I have not made made it a play as of yet. Moving on to the co-main, we have Kelvin Gastelum with a record of 15-4 with 1 no contest, taking on Darren Till. He has a record of 17-2-1. Current odds has Gastelum minus 285. Comeback on Till is plus 225. Kelvin Gastelum was on a two-fight win streak, beating Michael Bisping via knockout at UFC Fight Night 122 and Ronaldo Souza at UFC 224 via split decision when he got the opportunity to face Israel Adesanya for the interim UFC middleweight championship at UFC 236. Gastelum lost his bid for UFC gold, losing to Adesanya via unanimous decision in what was sure to be a contender for fight of the year. Adesanya went on to unify the titles by finishing Robert Whittaker in spectacular fashion at UFC 243, while Gastelum finds himself climbing back up the ladder with a bout against Darren Till. Saturday's fight against Till will be the 21st of his career. 10 of his 15 pro victories ended inside the distance, 6 by knockout, and 4 via submission. The 28-year-old has been stopped once in 4 career losses. After winning 4 fights in a row, England's Darren Till enters Saturday's bout, the loser of his previous 2. He got subbed by Tyron Woodley at UFC 228, and Jorge Masvidal knocked him out in the second round at UFC Fight Night 147. 12 of his 17 pro wins ended inside the distance, 10 via knockout to go along with 2 by way of submission. The 26-year-old will make the walk for the 21st time when he steps into the cage opposite Gastelum on Saturday night. Till is primarily a striker and is going to want to utilize his height and reach and stay on the outside. Gastelum, on the other hand, is going to want to get on the inside where he does most of his damage. Gastelum is by far the superior fighter on the ground. He's a better wrestler with a better chin. I think those two factors play a major role in this fight. I'll be interested to see how the added size affects Till. He already possessed power, but will the added weight make a big difference? How will his cardio and speed be affected? His durability should improve, however. Gastelum is tough as fuck, but how much did going 5 rounds without Adesanya take out of him? And is he taking this fight too soon? I think this fight being 3 rounds is a huge benefit for him. My official pick here is going to be Kelvin Gastelum by TKO. But from a betting perspective, while I do think Gastelum wins the fight, I think the betting value is on Till. Next up in the welterweight division, we have Stephen Thompson with a record of 14-4-1, taking on Vicente Luque with a record of 17-6-1. Current odds has Luque minus 120. Comeback on Stephen Thompson is also being a small favorite at minus 110. Stephen Thompson enters Saturday night's fight against Vicente Luque on a 2-fight losing streak and 1-3 in his previous 4. He dropped a unanimous decision to Darren Till at UFC Fight Night 130, and his most recent loss was to Anthony Pettis via knockout at UFC Fight Night 148. 8 of the Upstate Karate product's 14 career victories ended inside the distance, all but 1 via knockout. At 36 years of age, Wonderboy will make the walk for the 20th time when he steps into the cage opposite Luque. Vicente Luque lost his UFC debut to Michael Graves back at the Ultimate Fighter Finale 21. Since then, he is 10-1 and the winner of his last 6 fights in a row. 15 of his 17 career victories ended inside the distance, 9 via knockout to go along with 6 by way of submission. The 27-year-old will make the walk for the 25th time on Saturday night. Luque likes to apply pressure and get in his opponent's face. He'll also enjoy the edge and power. Luque will also be the better fighter should the fight go to the ground, but getting Thompson down will be a challenge for him, I think. Luque must be able to get on the inside and make the fight ugly. However, I don't think Wonderboy lets that happen. I think Thompson is the more technical fighter on the feet. He's got excellent footwork and will stay on the outside. I think the biggest advantage Thompson has here is his cardio. Luque tends to fade in the later rounds, and I don't like his fight IQ. And for those reasons, my official pick here will be Stephen Thompson by decision. And from a betting perspective, I did play Stephen Thompson at minus 130 on the 29th. Currently, you can get him actually at minus 110. So had I waited, I probably would have gotten a better number. So if you do like Stephen Thompson, now's the time to jump on that because the odds have gone down for him and gotten better. Next up, we move to the heavyweight division where Derek Lewis, with a record of 21-7 with 1 no contest, takes on Blagoy Ivanov with a record of 18-2. He also has 1 no contest. Current odds has Ivanov minus 125, and Derek Lewis is also a small favorite at minus 105. After winning 3 bouts in a row, Derek Lewis finds himself on a 2-fight losing streak. Daniel Cormier subbed him in the second round at UFC 230, and his most recent loss was to Junior Dos Santos via knockout at UFC Fight Night 146. Lewis is a finisher. All but two of his 21 career victories ended inside the distance, 18 via knockout. This will be the 34-year-old's 30th pro fight. Blagoy Ivanov lost his UFC debut to Junior Dos Santos via unanimous decision at UFC Fight Night 133. Since that loss, the 33-year-old has won his previous two bouts. He defeated Ben Rothwell via unanimous decision at UFC Fight Night 146, and his most recent win occurred at UFC 238, where he beat Tai Tuivasa, also by unanimous decision. The former World Series of Fighting heavyweight champion will make the walk for the 22nd time on Saturday night. The Bulgarian-born fighter has 12 finishes in his 18 career victories. Half of them are via submission. Sure, Blagoy Ivanov has a granite chin, but everyone knows Derek Lewis can sweep anyone in the division. If Ivanov can avoid getting knocked the fuck out in the first 7.5 minutes, I like his chances at winning here. Lewis has no cardio, and that's not good when facing a fighter like Ivanov, who does have very good cardio. If Ivanov implements a wrestling-heavy game plan and forces Lewis to repeatedly work back to his feet, I think he wins the last two rounds and wins the fight via decision. The last thing he should do, however, is to get into a slugfest with Derek Lewis. It's a tough one for me to pick here. I am going to take Lewis by TKO, but I take him with very little confidence. And from a betting perspective, this is a hard pass for me. Next up in the lightweight division, we have Kevin Lee with a record of 17-5 taking on Gregor Gillespie with an undefeated record of 13-0. Current odds has Gillespie minus 155, comeback on Lee plus 125. So after losing to Al Iaquinta via unanimous decision at UFC on Fox 31, Kevin Lee decided to test the waters in the welterweight division for his most recent bout. That experiment did not go Lee's way, losing to Rafael Dos Anjos via submission at UFC Fight Night 152. That dropped him to 1-3 in his last four and the loser of his previous two. Of his 17 career victories, two are via knockout and eight are by submission. At 27 years old, Lee will be fighting in his 23rd professional fight. Gregor Gillespie has yet to taste defeat as a professional fighter. His most recent victory was at UFC Fight Night 143, where he finished Yancy Medeiros in the second round. 11 of his 13 wins ended inside the distance, 6 by knockout and 5 via submission. The 32-year-old makes the walk for the 14th time when he steps into the octagon to face Lee on Saturday night. Both fighters have similar styles. Gregor Gillespie is an excellent wrestler with cardio for days. He's a high-pressure fighter with a grinding style. He's dangerous both on the feet and on the ground. That said, Kevin Lee is a step up in level of competition. Lee will be the bigger fighter with a better resume. I think this is a fight Kevin Lee needs to win. The problem is I don't think this is a good matchup for him. Gillespie is the better wrestler with more speed, and Lee does get taken down in most of his fights. Gillespie has an endless gas tank, and we've seen Kevin Lee fade in more than a few of his fights. And for that reason, my pick is going to be Gillespie. I think he does get the submission probably in the third round. And from a betting perspective, I played Gregor Gillespie at minus 155 on Friday. So that's it for the main card. Let's take a break, and when we come back, we will jump right into the prelims. All right, we are back. Let's jump right into the prelims. In the light heavyweight division, Corey Anderson, with a record of 12-4, faces off against Johnny Walker with a record of 17-3. Current odds has Walker minus 155. Comeback on Anderson is plus 125. So Johnny Walker is a fast starter, but he can be reckless. I think his style will give Anderson trouble because he struggles with high-pressure fighters. Talk about a diverse offense. Walker throws kicks, knees, and punches from every angle and can finish a fight in a multiple of ways. Walker is the better athlete, but we've never seen him pass the first round since his Contender Series fight back in August of last year. Corey Anderson has good wrestling and must be able to get Walker to the ground. If the fight remains on the feet, it's going to be a short night for Anderson. That said, he must be careful he doesn't get caught coming in, because chances are good that Walker knows he's going to have to defend the takedown. If Anderson does have success getting Walker down, he must be able to hold him there and hope to grind out a decision. I just think the power, strength, and athleticism of Walker will be too much for Anderson here. So my official pick will be Johnny Walker by TKO. And from a betting perspective, I played Johnny Walker at minus 155 on Thursday. Next up in the featherweight division, we have Shane Burgos with a record of 12-1, taking on Makwan Amerkani with a record of 15-3. Current odds has Burgos minus 250. Comeback on Amerkani is plus 195. So Makwan Amerkani has good wrestling and will want to get Burgos to the mat early and often. Burgos is an excellent striker and will want to keep the fight standing. Both fighters have clear paths to victory, so it'll be interesting to see which fighter can force their will on the other. If Burgos stuffs the takedown attempts from Amerkani, then I can see him finishing the fight on the feet. However, if Amerkani has success on the ground, I wouldn't be surprised to see him sub Burgos. But my official pick here is going to be Burgos by TKO, but I take him with little confidence. And from a betting perspective, while I did take Burgos to win the fight, I am passing here, but I do think Amerkani is worth a look at the current price. Moving on to the middleweight division, we have Brad Tavares with a record of 17-5, taking on Edmund Shabizin with a record of 10-0. Current odds has Shabazian minus 150. Comeback on Tavares is plus 120. So this should be an excellent fight. Both fighters are well-rounded and have similar skill sets. I think Shabazian will be the faster, quicker fighter, which I think will be a factor here. This will be a step up in level of competition for him, but I think he's up for the challenge. I think his pace will eventually become a problem for Tavares, and I see Shabazian taking over in the later rounds. My official pick here will be Shabazian by decision. From a betting perspective, though, I will be passing. Next up in the heavyweight division, we have Andrei Arlovsky with a record of 28-18 with 2 no contests, taking on Jairzinho Rozenstruik. He has an undefeated record of 8-0. Current odds has Rozenstruik minus 155. Comeback on Arlovsky is plus 125. So Rozenstruik has huge power, but he's a one-dimensional fighter. He struggles mightily on the ground, which could be a problem against a fighter like Arlovsky, who doesn't mind taking the fight to the mat. Arlovsky has always been primarily a striker, but he is a well-rounded fighter. I don't see him beating Rozenstruik on the feet, but I do like the way Arlovsky has looked lately. If he uses his wrestling and fights a safe, smart fight, I can see him winning a decision. However, Rozenstruik is dangerous and can finish Arlovsky with one punch. And because of that, I am going to take Rozenstruik by TKO. But like I said, I have liked the way Arlovsky has looked lately. I think he's been fighting much smarter. So from a betting perspective, I am passing on this fight. Next up, we have the early prelims, and in the women's flyweight division, we have Caitlin Chookagian with a record of 12-2, taking on Jennifer Maia. She has a record of 17-5-1. Current odds has Chookagian minus 160. Comeback on Maia is plus 130. So Caitlin Chookagian is a high-volume striker who wants to outpoint her opponents on the feet. She likes to fight in space and stay on the outside. Maia will try to get inside and bring the fight to Chookagian. Maia does have the edge in power, but Chookagian moves well and is very evasive. My official pick here is going to be Chookagian by decision, and from a betting perspective, I will be passing here. And next up in the welterweight division, We have Lyman Good with a record of 20-5 with one no contest, taking on Chance Recounter with a record of 14-3. Current odds has Good minus 125. Comeback on Recounter is plus 105. I think Lyman Good will have a slight advantage on the feet, but he struggles on the ground. Chance Recounter has 3 wins via submission, and while Good has only been submitted once in his 5 losses, a sub here wouldn't surprise me. If Recounter comes into the fight with a focus on taking Good down, I think he grinds out a decision here. So my official pick is going to be Recounter by decision. And from a betting perspective, I did play Chance Recounter at plus 105 on October 26th. And finally, in the featherweight division, we have Julio Arce with a record of 16-3, taking on Hakeem Douadu with a record of 10-1-1. Current odds has Douadu minus 140, with the comeback on Arce plus 110. So Julio Arce has good boxing and fights well in space. The problem with his stand-up is he gets hit too much for my liking. I do expect the fight to play out on the feet, and I think that favors Douadu. I think Douadu is a faster fighter and has a more diverse offense on the feet than Arce. Douadu also has the edge and power. Both fighters have excellent takedown defense. I think Arce does have a slight advantage on the ground, but I don't see that coming into play here because, like I said, I do see this fight taking place on the feet. My official pick here will be Douadu by decision. And from a betting perspective, I did play Hakeem Douadu at minus 135 on October 29th. All right, that'll do it for UFC 244. Let's take a look at last week's bets. I had no action on UFC Singapore due to being away on vacation last week. But in college football, I did go 6-2-1 for plus 3.60 units, bringing the year-to-date total to 26-19 for plus 4.35 units. And in the NFL, I went 4-3 for plus 0.45 units, which brings our NFL year-to-date totals to 19-13 for plus 2.85 units. When we combine the NFL and college football totals, we are at 45-32 for plus 7.20 units. So definitely looking to keep that going. As of right now, I haven't made any plays in either the NFL or college football, but keep an eye on my Twitter at Michael Grocki so you don't miss anything as far as those two sports go. So recapping my UFC 244 plays, I am on Johnny Walker, minus 155, Stephen Wonderboy Thompson at minus 130, Gregor Gillespie at minus 155, Hakeem Douadu at minus 130, and finally Chance Recounter at plus 105. All right, that'll do it for this episode of the MMA and Sports Betting Podcast. If you like the show, I encourage you to check out the MMA and Sports Betting newsletter on Substack. The link to the newsletter is mmaandsportsbetting.substack.com. I'd also greatly appreciate it if you hit the subscribe button. The newsletter is free to subscribe to, and you'll get all of my MMA previews and predictions, as well as every bet I make sent directly to your inbox. Again, you can find the newsletter at mmaandsportsbetting.substack.com. You can also follow me, the podcast, and the newsletter on Twitter at Michael Grocki. That's MICHAELGROCKE. If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions for the podcast or the newsletter, the email address is mmaandsportsbettingpodcast@gmail.com. So until next time, everyone, enjoy the fights and may all your bets be winners.